Welcome to the November 9th edition of the PFF Forecast. It is once again Wednesday evening, which means not one, but two Seths. A Seth sandwich with Judah Fortgang joining us to talk about live betting strategy. Worked for me again last week. Kansas City came through. Actually saved my weekend, honestly. If I hadn't bet Kansas City live, like, I don't know. It would have been, I'm not sure I'd be here right now. So we're going to talk about some strategy with him. It'd be a lot of fun. It's a great Wednesday episode and a return of Seth Galina's pet peeves. This is a good one. Let's rock. Right. Back at it again. We have maybe the worst Thursday night game. Well, I guess the Broncos have been on Thursday night, but this Thursday night game, maybe not so great. Thankfully, Seth, we have the Niners on Sunday night. So we can take our time, our sweet time with that and get through Thursday night. But it's great to have you back on, man. How are you?
I'm good. You know, the issue with this game is really just the wind and the rain. Supposedly it's going to fall on Charlotte tomorrow. I'm stealing this from Brad. Brad told us before the show about the weather.
Yeah, that was a
and
quick
I sound like the smartest guy in the room now, but basically
he's checking his Doppler, like he's a meteorologist over there.
The game 2 weeks ago was an instant classic, back and forth, especially in the second half and then going to overtime, all the missed kicks. So we're not going to get that on Thursday.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, it's interesting. The Falcons wouldn't throw the ball if it were 75 and sunny with no wind. So they come into this game, you know, loving to run the ball. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson back. The Panthers, I believe, Brad, we're going to have, is it Baker?
No, PJ Walker in this one.
Oh, PJ Walker's back. Oh, look at that. I now feel infinitely better about DJ Moore. But Seth, so for people that are new members of the printing press, Seth Galina, world-renowned, actually, star of stage and screen. If you haven't checked out some of his work on the whiteboard on It's Just Football, you absolutely should. Great show, by the way. You should check it out. But Seth is the right-hand man for the people that do the easy work on primetime, Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Collinsworth, our wonderful boss, who chat with Seth every single week to ask him what to think about for the primetime games. So we figured it'd be good to have him on here as well. Let's start with this, Seth. Carolina, Atlanta. Atlanta going into Carolina, but as a three-point favorite. It's minus 105 at FanDuel, minus 110 at BetMGM. By the way, you can see both odds now in the PFF app and go direct to the bet slip with either one from the PFF app. Seth, what is the biggest mismatch in this game?
Well, the biggest mismatch is really, I wouldn't call it a mismatch. It's more just like, which PJ Walker are you getting? Because now we have 4 weeks of him this season, and obviously we have a bunch of games from seasons past. And sometimes PJ Walker looks like he is the best quarterback that has ever lived. And sometimes he looks like the worst quarterback that's ever lived. And that is a problem if you're trying to play quarterback in the NFL, right? We need consistency. And you're seeing all sorts of absolutely insane throws from the Bucs game and the last Falcons game. Then you're seeing the Rams game, which was his first start. And you're seeing the Bengals game last week where he's benched at halftime where, I mean, he's throwing to linebackers, he's making the wrong decisions, and it's just it unravels itself so quickly. So like I said, if the game was in good conditions, I think you could get another good PJ Walker game. In fact, another great PJ Walker game. But I think in the bad conditions, it's going to be a lot tougher. It's just going to be a lot tougher to have that game. And I think you're going to see some interceptions. You're going to see some poor decisions. Even though he can sling it, but you're going to see some poor decisions, I think.
You mentioned the fact they played a couple weeks ago. I think us as bettors get thrown a ton of information at us, a lot of narratives, a lot of like factoids, and it's hard to actually sift through what matters, what you can do with that information, what's actionable. So as a world-renowned coach of football as well, you know, what really can you do making adjustments? You just played this team. They're obviously in your division, so you know them well already. What are the things that coaches can sit down, notice tendencies, learn from the previous game, and actually implement and tell their players, you know, here's what we're going to do now that we know this in this next matchup?
I'm going to use a term here that I don't really understand, but it's all game theory.
Okay.
And
that's why we bring you on, so that you can tell us things that you yourself don't understand. I feel like I'm reading one of your articles now, Seth.
Yeah. You know, your football is an interesting sport, but it comes down to, we want to do, like on offense or on defense, we want to do the same things over and over again. And when you go down the levels, when you go to Pee Wee football and high school football, then up to college and et cetera, you can keep doing those things without any window dressing, without any motion, without different formations. And so the NFL is all about, hey, we want to run these 10 concepts that we really, really like, but we can't just show you them from the same formations and you know, the same motions every single time, because the defenders are too smart. So then you get into a situation where now you have a one-to-one comparison of what this team, this defense, let's say I'm talking about an offense, like what this defense likes to do when I'm in this formation, in this situation, you know, first and 10, I come out with this personnel in this formation. This is what they was, this is what they like. This motion is going to trigger this action from the defense. Like I have a one-to-one. So now you're building on that. And again, it's not to necessarily run a completely different concept. It's to run something that's built off the concepts you already, you've shown them a post, here comes a post corner. You've shown them this motion and it's leading to a speed out. Well, this motion now is going to lead to a slant or something like that. So you're just trying to, and again, I think the one-to-one comparison, because the only time before that that you had seen them was against different teams. So you just don't know how they're going to match up correctly to you. And you're trying to stay one step ahead. I think you also get into like the personnel matchups, of course. And this is going to be my bet of the week, and I have to change it now last minute because of this weather situation. But
oh, no.
The Falcons tried to get Demir Byrd kind of one-on-one on the corner. I think it was Dante Jackson for a couple plays on a post route. And, you know, they set it up pretty nice. They got quarters. The safety to that side jumped up on Kyle Pitts, and they got the post route behind them. And Byrd just didn't win. And like that's a matchup thing where you can say, okay, well, what if we get the same looks? Because we just saw it. And like teams aren't going to give you that much different, especially given the game was only 2 weeks ago. Okay, what if we put our other fast receiver, Zacchaeus? Olamide.
Yeah,
like what if we put him on Dante Jackson, get the same look, but we get a receiver we like better on that post route. And maybe we can get a completion. And that's why I was going to say over 22 and a half receiving yards by that receiver. But I might walk it back a bit now with the weather.
You're conditions. Scared. You're but scared like, of the weather.
I'm scared of the weather. But anyways, that I think is like, you know, figuring out their tendencies on a one-to-one basis and then getting the matchups correct there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, weather is a tricky thing because you're betting the game right now. You know, you never know what might happen with weather. If you can get a read on what that looks like, you know, and then maybe pick off some lines before they change, you could be in good shape. I was looking forward to, a particular matchup, on the outside. Now, looking at the weather, I'm thinking about Marcus Mariota, for example, under, I think it's 154 and a half. Yeah. Passing yards, which seems ridiculously low until you realize that like the Falcons would prefer he have zero passing yards. So I'll let you guys, give your best bet, here first, and I'll go last. Start with you, Seth. This is, -3 over 42. Total is 42 and a half. Where are you looking?
Yes. So like I said, I think Zacchaeus over 22 and a half receiving yards is really interesting because, like I said, they targeted Demir Byrd 6 times in the game 2 weeks ago, caught 3 balls, you know, a couple of them were wide open, like kind of issues with the defense. So I don't know if it's him making a play. So I just don't know if they'll go back to it. And I just like the matchup that they can get. Just a better matchup of Zaccheaus versus Dante Jackson, speed against speed.
Brad, where are you rolling?
Yep. So what I like here is, look, Cordarrelle Patterson came back in the last game, was on IR for a while, did score two touchdowns, but actually had, I want to say, 13 carries for 40 yards or something like that, about 3.5 yards a clip. Tyler Allgeier had 10 carries for 99 yards. It was really efficient. He's been playing better football the last month. And so not only was he more efficient, also, yes, Patterson is back, but now the first game back, you then have the short week going into a Thursday. I think it's going to be a committee approach again. They'll both get maybe 10, 12 carries each. I like Tyler Allgeier over 31.5 rushing yards. Obviously, the weather also a benefit if they're not throwing. Like you said, Atlanta doesn't throw regardless. So I like Allgeier over 31.5.
I like where your head is at. Allgeier had, a 40-yard run to start off that game. And there's probably a bunch of rushing attempts to go around here. I am going to wait to play this one. Okay, so if you're listening now, take a look at the weather before you play this one. But AJ Terrell is out. The Panthers are underdogs in this game. PJ Walker got every bad throw out of him last week. It was a disaster. So I'm rooting for PJ Walker in this one. DJ Moore is going to, instead of facing AJ Terrell, is going up against a young man named Cornell University Armstrong. And he has a 50.9 PFF coverage grade. DJ Moore isn't exactly Tyreek Hill out here, but his best games have come. His two highest graded games have come with PJ Walker playing quarterback. They are an underdog in this game. They are not a very good team. So I would expect them to play from behind. So I'm going to go DJ Moore. It's either 4.5 receptions or 58.5 receiving yards. I think I would lean receiving yards there just in case they're playing from behind. They got to throw some Hail Marys there at the end to try and come back. And I like his chances of obviously being a target if they're down late. So, I mean, look, who else are they throwing the ball to? It's DJ Moore. Let's move.
Off the top of my head, Laviska Shenault, if you can get maybe I don't know what their receptions are, but they throw a lot of bubbles to him, and this might be a bubble game in the rain. So just something to look for. Maybe you're looking at the weather, looking for something else to bet.
Thank you. I haven't placed enough bets on Laviska Shenault in my life.
And you shouldn't.
Let's get on to Sunday night. So Sunday night, we have what I think you look at the schedule and you go, my gosh, what a great matchup. This is going to be an awesome close game. And this opened at San Francisco -4.5. It is now San Francisco -7 at home against the Chargers. The Niners 4-4, the Chargers 5-3. It does not appear to be as if these two teams are kind of in the same tier right now. So Seth, this is interesting. Obviously a really banged up Chargers team. We've talked about Justin Herbert a bunch, not being nearly as good as I think we all expected him to be this season. So it seems like there should be mismatches kind of aplenty here. But tell me, where do you see the biggest matchup advantage in this one?
It's hard not to look in the trenches with the 49ers offensive line versus the Chargers D line. And this is even in the best 49ers interior offensive line specifically, and probably just offensive line in general, and it's still not a good matchup. It is still a very bad matchup for the Chargers defense. Honestly, any five unit offensive line is a bad matchup for the Chargers defense at this point in the season. But yeah, this could be rough. I mean, it was rough last week. It was rough the week before. It was rough the week before that. And so I don't see it changing.
I mean, it's honestly, I mean, the Chargers are giving up, I want to say, 5.8 yards per carry this season. It has not been good, but you kind of expect that with Brandon Staley, right? Like that's sort of his MO. I guess the difference has been that, you know, they made this big high price move on JC Jackson. He was absolutely terrible before he went out. They don't have the same kind of robustness on the back end from a passing standpoint either, which is kind of weird. How much of that do you think is injury? How much do you think is maybe people sort of figuring out what Staley's doing?
Well, I think that clearly the JC Jackson trade, even when he was healthy, was The signing was just it didn't work out, and that is such a key player for them. You know, I know in back when Staley was coaching the Rams defense, and we talked a lot about Jalen Ramsey moving to the inside, being a slot corner at some plays, but at the end of the day, like, he played outside a lot and he shut down good receivers. And so you need, like, it doesn't matter if you're going to play two high, one high. Eventually you're going to need to play man to man on an X receiver, on an outside receiver. They just haven't been able to do that for 2 years. And Jackson was supposed to be the guy, played a lot of man coverage in New England. That had just, it was just bad, right? We didn't know it was bad. We came back from the injury. It was bad. He's injured now. You know, Michael Davis is out there starting. He's just an average player. So it's tough for them, whether they're going to load the box or not, just to stop anybody right now.
Going back to the run defense, I mean, I know obviously Staley plays a lot of soft coverage, a lot of two high, all those things. But you go out, you get Sebastian Joseph Day in free agency. You add Austin Johnson, who is now out for the year but had been playing for them before. They're second to last in EPA per rush allowed this season. A, how is it still so bad? And B, yeah, well, I mean, with the Niners, are they like, is it going to be just running right at them all day long? You know, and kind of how can Shanahan continue to take advantage?
It's bad. You know, Sebastian Joseph Day was like a really nice, underrated player in the Rams defense the past couple of years. And he's just not played well this year. He's getting pushed around, you know, plays a nose tackle. Just, it's really bad. The two guys outside of him, when they play like a 3-4, like you said, Austin Johnson, he's out for the season. But even when he was in, not good. Jerry Tillery's just not good. Bosa has been out for a long time. That doesn't help. You know, you looked at some plays where certainly we want to look at the interior of a defensive line as how you stop the run. But if you're a defensive end, and this happened last week against Atlanta, and like, it's a, I think his name is Framington or Farmington, undrafted kid, young kid, just getting pushed around and creating that hole on the outside. They can play with loaded boxes. They can play with light boxes. It doesn't matter. I think one of the big differences in terms of, you know, you mentioned George, you know, yards per attempt, yards per rushing attempt. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I could be wrong, but I would imagine, I'm sure I'm not that wrong. You might have allowed a lot of yards per attempt, potentially, even with the Rams that year, but you had so many splash plays because you have Aaron Donald getting plays in the backfield. Mm-hmm. They don't have that at all this year. You know, Mack is they brought him in. He's been good, but we're also talking about a 30-plus-year-old edge rusher. So it's just been good. It's been above average for him this year. And that's not good enough. And, you know, you look at 2 weeks ago, the 49ers played the Rams. So the Rams defense still kind of on that, you know, coached by Raheem Morris, but still kind of on that Brandon Staley path there defensively. And schematically, the 49ers took massive advantage of that defense, formationally getting into the C gap, so outside of the tackle where the kind of hole is in the 3-4 defense, continuously. I mean, it felt like every play was designed to go into one or the other C gap. The Rams had no answer for it. I can see the same thing happening, and like, expect a lot of counter runs, a lot of power runs, a lot of split zone that ends up veering back into that C gap. I don't see how the Chargers have any chance of stopping it with the players they have in the field. I don't think it matters what Staley calls. The players they have in the field are just not good enough.
Sounds like he just can't play, you know. Who has the quarterback advantage in this game?
Justin Herbert, I think, has been really good this year, and I think you look at the injuries. I think we
I don't know
from the media perspective. I know we love talking about Joe Lombardi's offense, and that's just not playing to Justin Herbert's strengths. Very low average depth of target. You know, they just don't take shots down the field. I think it's partly that the offensive line, they don't trust to hold up, and it's been worse through injury. You have lost Rashawn Slater for the season. Zion Johnson, they took him in the first round. He will be a good player, I think. He's just not a good player yet, and he's starting. The receiver, they have no one to take the top off the defense. You're losing your two best receivers who already weren't burners. So it's just tough. I honestly think Justin Herbert makes the right decisions 99% of the time or 95% of the time. It's just tough in this environment to create enough explosive plays to win football games.
All right, time to make some bets here. I'll go first. I don't see this anywhere yet, but Christian McCaffrey rushing yards, I think, will probably be a pretty popular prop here. I'm going to bet that, but I'm also going to look and see what Jimmy G's total is, maybe even touchdown prop, just because I could see the Chargers so much trying to overcompensate and Shanahan coming out and flexing Jimmy G a little bit. I'm not scared of this defense in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to make those two plays. It is 7. If we're 6.5, I would take the Niners. At 7, I'm going to lay off. Brad, what about you?
Yep. So because it is 7, I'm looking for some teasers. One I like is the Denver Broncos with the San Francisco 49ers. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday. Yeah. There's still kind of some question marks around Ryan Tannehill. So you can get the Broncos up to 8.5 on a 6-point teaser. And you can get, you know, the 49ers obviously down to minus a point. That's what I'm playing on this one.
Seth, what about you?
Again, I don't have the number. I don't think it's out yet. I like Brandon Ayuk receiving yards, catches, something wherever you feel like it makes sense to you. Because, again, I look at that Rams game and I think they're playing with a couple tight ends. Juszczyk will be back. It is potential that Deebo Samuel will be back too, but I think they will – use these same type of formations and just kind of put those two receivers, Deebo and Ayuk, on islands, and they'll get a lot of catches, a lot of targets at least.
Like where your head is at. All right, we closed out with Seth's pet peeve. What is your pet peeve this week, Seth?
My pet peeve is in game management, late game management, which is where everyone's pet peeve is, I think, when you watch.
Are you going to blame the analytics?
So I don't like it when – let's say you're on defense, you have a couple timeouts, maybe all three timeouts, you're down in the game, the other team is trying to run the football, they're in their 4-minute offense, trying to take some game clock off the board. Let's say there's 3.5 minutes left, something like that, and you hold on to your timeouts, waiting for your offense to get the ball back. Mm-hmm. I believe that your offense has the control of when the clock starts and stops with what they can do with the ball. They're the ones who have the ball. You have to trust your quarterback to make those decisions. You can spike it. You can throw it out of bounds. You can run out of bounds, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you'd rather have the time, like if you call those timeouts while you're still on defense, and then plus, you know, if it's before the 2-minute warning, you'll have the 2-minute warning. Mm-hmm. I think you'd rather have the time rather than the timeouts, because you can control the clock when you have the ball on offense.
Yeah. If you're on defense, the defense, you know, you're at the peril of the offense, right? They can decide to run the play clock all the way down. When you have the ball on offense, you can dictate that, right? You can run the hurry up. You can spike it. You can do all those things. What I do think is interesting is sometimes coaches getting too worried about calling their timeouts on offense. And, you know, really you should be waiting kind of until you're later in the game, whether it be after the 2-minute warning. I know Timo, our friend Timo Riske, PFF_Moo, has done some research there. Seth, we always appreciate you, even with your pet peeves. Thank you for hanging out with us, and we will talk to you next week, brother.
See you guys.
A little reminder, the PFF app is out. You can find it by searching PFF on the iOS app store. It's not out for Android yet. I know some people are clamoring. We'll get there. We'll get there soon enough. We appreciate you guys reaching out. You can always hit us up and let us know how you're feeling. But we've got FanDuel odds in there now, so you can take any bet that you like and drop it right into your FanDuel sportsbook app and bet it. Plus all the great content from Brad, Seth, and Judah and Tej, who we're about to talk to. So go check that out as well. You can go head to Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L, which is the sports basically stock market. If you're investing in the stock market right now, you may be looking for alternative places to put your money if you still have some. And this could be a place. Use promo code FORECAST. You get a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you're hesitant on joining, that should be enough to get you going. Search Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L, in the App Store. Use promo code FORECAST, and they will also give you a free deposit of up to $500. So super easy, super simple. Symbol, S-I-M-B-U-L-L. Also, No House Advantage. Go to nohouseadvantage.com. Use promo code PFF. Get $25 risk-free on your first no house advantage pick them. They do a great job of setting up the games for you so that you don't have to worry about anything, and you don't have to worry about a house advantage, because there is none. That's what they do for you. So go to nohouseadvantage.com or download the app. All right. We now have our good friend, Tej Seth. He joins us every week so that we can pick the lock of the week. We've been giving out multiple locks. Last week went 1-1-1. Week before was pretty good. So we will have to get off the schneid of even money here. And so we know the work is cut out for us. Tej, your Lions pulled through last week. We were thinking about rocking with Aaron Rodgers -3.5. We found a way to the Washington Commanders who ended up pushing. So hopefully you're not here to recommend the Chicago Bears, because certainly the Lions are now hot. But how are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good. Yeah, thanks again for having me on. I'm glad Brad is pretty smart enough to know that I was half emotional hedging there when I picked the Packers. So he talked us out of, you know, putting the Packers in our lock of the week, and we ended up getting something that pushed. And, you know, if you use the closing line, if you bet that on game day, it would have covered for you. So Washington, you know, played pretty well last week, enough for us to get the push or the cover there.
Yeah, and you guys have a little brotherly rivalry here, because the Lions are playing the Bears. So let's get started. The way we do this, we go around the horn, we talk about our favorite bets, and we pick the ones we're going to roll with for the printing press this week. Tej, why don't you get started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm going to start with, you know, if you want to just take the overall spread, I like Raiders -6 against the Colts. But what I really like is Raiders -4 first half. And so, you know, I'm going with Arjun, who comes on the Sunday show here, with kind of like the first half bets. When you look at just the underlying metrics of these two teams in general, the Raiders rank 13th in offensive EPA per play this year. The Colts rank 32nd, so literally the worst offense in the league. So the Raiders have a huge advantage there. And then Sam Ehlinger just had one of the worst starts of the entire season. And so when you look at the Raiders defense, they're top 10 against the run, but they're 31st against the pass, which I don't think matters too much, because Ehlinger can't pass. So when you've seen the Raiders go up, you know, multiple times and blow these continuous leads this year, they're usually dominating in the first half. Both aspects of offense and defense are playing well. And then the other team kind of comes back in the second half. I think that could even be more so in this game, because the Colts have Jeff Saturday as their head coach, who has never been a part of an NFL coaching staff before. And there's so many things I'm sure that he has to figure out in the first half of this game. So I really like the Raiders to jump out to a pretty considerable lead in the first half against the Colts this week.
My God, we haven't talked about the Jeff Saturday thing yet. And on the Sunday show, Tej, I think said these exact words: I'm not giving up on Frank Reich. I think he's got one more in him. And of course they fire him the next day. I have not seen anything that wasn't on Saturday Night Live that made me laugh as much as Jim Mersey's press conference.
How is the sausage made? We need to know how the sausage is made.
I don't know, but I do know how to build a football team by drafting first overall every time a generational quarterback is there to be had. I mean, oh my God. That was amazing. Brad, where are you going?
Well, Tej, I don't know if it's in front of you, but you must not have had Jeff Saturday's high school team's EPA per play. I heard it was pretty good, so maybe you didn't see that data before coming in. So I'm going to the Dallas Cowboys. They opened -4.5, and on the show we talked about on Sunday how maybe one of the benefits of an early bet there is there was no news on Rashawn Gary definitively. There was no news on Romeo Doubs and a couple other guys definitively. Rashawn Gary's out for the year, and Romeo Doubs is out for 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. So you also kind of talked about halftime splits there. I was messing around looking at first and second half EPA per play when the game is within one score. The Cowboys have the third best offense in the second half when the game is within one score. The Packers are dead last in EPA per play allowed in the second half when the game is within one score. They're also bottom five on offense. They're the worst second half team in the NFL. So nevertheless, I like that regardless. Just found that split particularly interesting. I think Dallas is going to steamroll the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, if Green Bay needs to, let's say they're down or they have a lead and want to protect it, all these things, no Rashawn Gary. I mean, he's a top five edge rusher in the NFL. I don't get why the movement here is only half a point. It's not -5. I like Dallas -5.
I love it. My next, or sorry, my first bet here. I have two that I really, really like. Let me start with this one. And actually, you mentioned it earlier on the show with Seth on, but this is a teaser. I love teasing the San Francisco 49ers down to -1 against the Los Angeles Chargers, and a game that has a total of 36.5, which is Denver, Tennessee. The Broncos are +2.5 in this game. I will tease them up to 8.5. I mean, this is, I believe, the lowest total of the season thus far. And it has nothing, the amazing thing is this has nothing to do with weather. This is just how anemic these offenses are. And that's great. That plays right into your hands when it is a teaser, because those 8.5 points are worth way more in a low scoring game. There's much less likelihood of there being a wide point differential, whereas with a high total, obviously that increases. So I love that. I think there are a couple of other games that maybe you consider teasing it with, but I don't think there's a bigger mismatch than the San Francisco 49ers at home versus the LA Chargers. So that will be my first bet. Tej, you're up next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, love both of those picks from both of you. I'm going to go with a player prop here. This is one that will be written up on pff.com when I do my weekly, and the app when I do my weekly rushing yards props. Saquon Barkley over 93.5 rushing yards. And this is a big number to get to in a game. But when you look at what the kind of the year that Saquon Barkley is having right now, he has the second most carries in the NFL this season. And what we usually see is as volume goes up, efficiency goes down. He's still top 10 in rushing yards over expected with 0.34 rushing yards over expected on this year. So he's been able to kind of find a balance between having a lot of volume and still being very effective. We just saw the Houston Texans currently allow the second worst rushing yards per carry in the NFL. You know, they have PFF's worst graded run defense, and they're going up against a Giants offensive line that is 12th in run blocking grade. So I think that's a pretty big mismatch there. And then you throw in Saquon's ability to create and his explosiveness. I think, you know, he could really hit like 100 yards in this game and even go further than that. So I like him over 93.5 rushing yards.
Running backs do matter. Takeaway there. Brad, you're up next.
Yeah, I like that for sure. We saw Miles Sanders. You know, it was pretty easy on Thursday against the Texans, so I like that one for sure. Next one is, you mentioned our grudge match, although sadly, as Tej and I are all too familiar with, I think the winner of this game is whoever's team loses, Detroit and Chicago for draft position. But nevertheless, the over 48.5 here, I know we don't do a ton of totals, but I mean, these are two of the worst defenses in the NFL against two, at least for the last month, pretty good offenses. Both teams can move the ball on the ground very, very effectively. They are both top 10 in EPA per play, or sorry, both bottom 10 in EPA per rush allowed, and both near the top in EPA per rush. So yes, that can kind of burn some time off the clock, but you can also throw on both of these defenses. Kyler Gordon, the Bears slot corner, is a rookie. He is getting better, but he is still allowing a ton in the slot. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown could absolutely take advantage of that matchup. And then, you know, for the Lions corners, we got a full week now of Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney, and they're going to do a lot more there. And I just think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. As of right now, the weather report is clear. That's kind of the theme of the day. So yeah, over 48.5 in the Detroit, Chicago, NFC North barn burner.
That was going to be my next one. So I'm with you on that. Let me give you, one that I like here. And this is, oh man, the odds stink, but, the Eagles and the Commanders, as we talked about on Sunday night, first half of this game, the Eagles are 6-point favorite now. It's -140, which I absolutely hate, but the Commanders stink at scripted plays. They should get absolutely torched by the Philadelphia Eagles here in this game, at least to start the game. And then I think Heinicke magic comes into play, and you know, who knows what ends up happening with 10.5. But now the Eagles are one of the best teams in the first half and in the first quarter, notoriously a little bit slow to end the game. So I like that one quite a bit. I don't love that -140 though, so I already feel kind of a little like a square getting that out, but hopefully Tej can rebound from my giving out of a -140 bet and get us back on track.
You know, if you just want to, you know, do something that a couple people do in the industry where you just put your wins and losses and you don't put like the X amount of units you won,
Yeah.
you can do that there for that bet. So
That's good.
minus
Yes,
140, yeah.
I'm 65% picking minus 500 money line.
Exactly, yeah. Here's a spread that's you know even money or minus 110 either way here. I know that you guys both said you like the Bucks on the Sunday show, but like I just really like the Seahawks in Germany plus 2.5 against the Buccaneers. You know, this resurgence of the Seahawks defense has been one of the bigger stories of the season so far. I think when you look at, you know, kind of where they started the year, where they were bottom five in EPA per play. Since week four, they've ranked ninth in EPA per play. And the Bucs, whose defenses have been stout, you know, Tom Brady's whole tenure there, have really gone down to 22nd since week four. They've been really struggling as of late. And then I think, you know, this is really where we can start to say that Geno Smith is a legit quarterback that isn't, you know, relying on unstable things to make his productivity high here. He ranks seventh in, you know, passing efficiency on the year. Brady ranks 15th. So, you know, when you kind of have that passing game advantage where Geno Smith, good offensive line, is throwing to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett versus Brady, you know, having the lowest time to throw in the league where he doesn't generate as many explosive plays as we're used to with a banged up offensive line. I do like the Seahawks in this spot, you know, with kind of like the differences in where the teams are at right now.
I would say good news, well, I guess, depending how you look at it. But actually, BetMGM right now, Seahawks, you can get a plus three. It is minus 115, so shaded towards that side. But getting the full field goal is key. I will say, when I put out that I liked it, it was minus 1.5 when I bet it on Sunday. So that is obviously a different bet at this point. Again, the line movement is a different conversation. So last one for me, I already mentioned earlier in the show, it's the Tyler Allgeier over 31.5 rushing yards. You know, I just think this is going to be a game where him and Cordarrelle Patterson might get 15 plus carries in this game, because as we know, they're game script agnostic, which makes me like it even more. Cordarrelle Patterson is back, is obviously the lead back, but the short turnaround after his first game returning from injury makes me think maybe, you know, they limit him a little bit. He's a guy that's kind of always had some minor soft tissue stuff, and I think they will try to protect him to a degree. Obviously an important player for them. So Tyler Allgeier over 31.5 rushing yards.
I am a big fan of rushing yard props this week as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers, but I can't find those are not out yet.
Not
So
out, yeah.
it's a bit of a bummer. I have one more that, because that those are not out, that I'll throw out here, and I kind of want to hear what you guys think about this. So the Cleveland Browns are plus 3.5 in Miami. Cleveland coming off of long rest. Miami, not so much. Tua has been absolutely amazing. And, you know, they have Clowney and Garrett. Armstead's been really good, but on the right side, that's not quite been the case with Brandon Shell, 48.5 pass block grade, which is really, really bad, 68th out of 74 tackles. So you think about a guy like Tua, you know, in this game, Denzel Ward. Brad is supposed to be back. Is that right? And
It's
not like
supposed to be, yeah.
not like Denzel Ward's going to slow or stop Tyreek Hill. But 3.5, I don't know. There's something that just tells me the Browns are, you know, that our model likes it to begin with. But in this game, I just think that that maybe we're overrating Miami ever so slightly, and Cleveland at 3-5, kind of a plucky team. So that'll be my last one. Seth, do you have any more? Tej, sorry.
Yeah, no, those are all the bets I had. Yeah, I think we can, if you guys don't have anything
All
else, we
right.
can probably go into it.
Oh boy. All right. Where is Brad? Let's start with you. What are your favorites?
I'm glad we saw eye to eye on these, a couple of these. I think my favorite is that teaser. The Titans are five and have five wins. The largest win is by 9 points. So you're getting Denver to 8.5, which is, I mean, arguably one of the best defenses in the entire NFL. Could be Malik Willis, even if it's Ryan Tannehill, I still like it. And then, yeah, the Niners, now that it's seven, I love the teaser there. They really should win this football game. So that teaser is my favorite bet of the week, I think.
All right, Tej, what about you?
I really like the teaser as well. I'll back up Brad there. And I also like the Cowboys minus five. I don't think, you know, Rashawn Gary was having a defensive player of the year type season. And like really the only thing that, you know, kind of made the Cowboys, or sorry, the Packers defense not be like awful. Like they weren't good, but they weren't, awful either. And I think they like really dropped pretty far without him.
Yeah, I guess, a little bit of a worry for me is just that the idea that Aaron Rodgers is this big of an underdog at home to any team is honestly kind of surprising. It's just something that feels a little off. Let me throw out one more actually for you guys. The LA Rams -1.5 at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Is this not disrespectful to a team that's like owned the Arizona Cardinals?
One big thing here, which needs to be monitored, is Matthew Stafford is actually in concussion protocol after the game on Sunday. Yeah, they said the doctors checked him out post-game. They deemed he deserved to be in concussion protocol. He's considered day-to-day. But at the same time, Kyler Murray is also day-to-day with a hamstring injury. So I almost think it's just there's like too much going on there. Because I agree with you. It moved from, I want to say, 3.5 to like 1.5 today on the Stafford news. It's just kind of tough to gauge the situation there.
Okay. Not an official lock of the week. If Matthew Stafford is playing and Kyler Murray has a hamstring injury, which I didn't know you could get from playing Call of Duty, but maybe he's doing it with like the VR goggles on and like pulled a hammy. I forgot to mention that one. I really like Detroit, Chicago over as long as the weather isn't too bad there. I feel like we have to have some sort of fade of Jeff Saturday. I mean, Frank Reich, in my opinion, I'm curious where you guys stand here. He is a top, he's a really good coach. I'm not quite sure he's like tier one based on some of the personnel decisions he's made. But in terms of like decision making, he hasn't had any offensive players really with which to work. But you're going from a guy that I think has his you know what together to a guy who has no idea what he's doing. Like was 500 in high school. I mean, let's be extremely clear. Like Jeff Saturday has coached high school football and his team was, I believe, 500, one or two games, maybe over or under. So
16. Yeah. So barely over.
I mean, they don't have anybody to call the plays.
Yeah. It's Parks Frazier, who's 30 years old, who look, no disrespect, but he was an offensive quality control coach, I think 2 years ago. I agree. I think we should. I think we have to do it. I'm almost out of principle at this point. And Darren Waller might finally make his return in this game.
Wow.
That's not definitive yet, but it sounds like it's tracking that direction. I think if it's announced he does play, I can see this cross 7. So maybe a little bit of value there too.
Okay. What did you like there, Tej? You liked the first half?
Yeah, I liked Raiders -4 first half. I thought they were going to jump out to a pretty big lead when the Colts coaching staff was still figuring out how to do NFL coaching staff.
How to do anything? You think they're going to figure it out after halftime? I mean, that is impressive. The most impressive part of what you just said is that you wanted to bet at first half because they were somehow going to figure out how to coach football in the middle of a football game. That would be really impressive. Okay, here's what I think we should do. I think we should do the fade of Jeff Saturday. You know what I actually really want to fade? It's not Jeff Saturday. I like Jeff Saturday. He's fine. I'm sure he loves to run the ball too much. Great. That'll be good for him. I want to fade Jim Irsay in his speech, soliloquy, whatever you want to call it, throwing some shade at Frank Reich for saying he wanted a coach that was man enough to make his own decisions instead of leaning on analytics.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I want? I want to invest my money with someone that's man enough to make their own calls instead of using math to invest money smarter. Like, that's what I'm looking for, you know? God, not smart. So we've got Raiders -4 first half. Teaser, Denver Broncos out to 8 against the Tennessee Titans and the Niners down to -1 at home against the Chargers. I feel like we should throw a player prop in there just for a little fun, just to feel a little something. Do we want to throw a Thursday night player prop in there?
I don't hate it. I don't hate it
at
all.
The Tyler Allgeier one was pretty good. What was that?
Why
31
not?
And a half, Fred? Yeah.
31 and a half.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tyler Allgeier, rookie running back, first round pick, Tyler Allgeier, over 31 and a half. We'll throw it out there. So we got three locks of the week, but some other bets that I think we all felt pretty darn good about. As well. So that it is. Hopefully we can get over 500 on the lock of the week this week. We were 1-1-1 last week. I think it was 4-0-1 the week before on the season, I believe 12-6, if memory serves me right. Tej, good luck to your Lions against Brad's Bears, and we will chat with you, of course, next week. By the way, everyone can find Tej. It's, what is it, Tej FB Analytics on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah,
Elon hasn't banned you yet, which is good.
I'm not going to get verified. I'm going to be a man of the people. I don't want to pay $8 or whatever it is going to be there, like some of the rest of you guys.
Same. Tej puts out some great content on PFF's app and PFF.com. Tej, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. All righty, back again. Our man, Judah Fortgang, he does two things very, very well. He identifies alt spreads to bet before the game, and then while the game is happening, he makes sure to invest at the right time. And the best thing is that he shares the strategy with which he goes into each week before, so you can actually prepare. I find this, I gotta be really honest, this has been incredibly helpful for me because I get overwhelmed on Sundays. A lot of shit going on. This past week, Judah, if it weren't for Kansas City live, I would have been very sad. Very, very sad. But thankfully, it was a close game, and somehow a close game against Malik Willis, who I actually thought threw some decent passes, but like there was no way that Malik Willis was gonna beat at the Kansas City Chiefs. How was your weekend of live betting? Did it go well?
My weekend was terrific, actually. I jumped on Minnesota over, as we discussed. Oh. Got to bet 31. But better yet, I took their money line at plus 330. Really just kind of, as Arjun said on Sunday night, Kirk has a way to kind of pull these games out. I jumped on that. Also, I took the Jags money line at the bottom, basically saying, this is it. Like, everyone jumped off them this week. Everyone was jumping off them in this game. Like, this is precisely the spot where they come back. So jumped on two big money lines. And if you hit them at, you know, plus 320, plus 330, that makes up for, you know, other flaws, like taking Andy Dalton in primetime.
See, I avoided that, but I took Sam Ellinger against Bill Belichick. So we'll leave that week in the past. We'll move on to this week. And let's get to, first off, are there any alt lines that you like heading into this week?
Yeah, I have to say, and this is my famous last words, this might be my favorite alt line of this season. No. And I'm sorry to both of you I think gave out the other side of this.
From the man who gave us Jets minus 5.5 against Green Bay, we have his favorite line of the week, of the year.
Okay, where's this going, too?
here's the play. Yes, it was just written up on PFF. You can find it there. The play is Seattle minus 7.5 and over 17.5 points at plus 400. Okay, the reason I just want to give a brief recap of why I did that specifically. If you click the same game parlay feature on DraftKings, they give you better odds. So if you just use a regular boosted odds, it's not going to be plus 400. Obviously. If the Seahawks are going to win by 8, they're probably scoring more than 17.5 points. That's just a throwaway leg to basically get the boosted odds on DraftKings. I like it even to 300. But here's the play, okay? Let's first start with what's actually being sourced in, what's being priced in. If you look at, I compile like a power rankings from a bunch of different media outlets, combining PFF, 538, Football Outsiders, InPredict, and I equally weight them. And basically, we get a story which says that Tampa Bay is the 8th best team and Seattle's the 16th best team. If we just take InPredict, which is basically just using the actual spread to create a power ranking, so it's literally being priced in at this exact moment, it's 7-20, right? The Bucks being the 7th best team, Seattle being the 20th best team. I don't think that is remotely close to the story, at least like from an efficiency perspective from these teams. I'll just list off a few stats to give the general overview. If you're looking at EPA, especially on offense, Seattle's 8th, Tampa Bay's 21st. Just looking at percentage of drives that Seattle scores, 44%, that's 5th best. The Bucks score on 35%, that's 20th. The Seahawks are only punting on 30% of their drives, that's 7th best. The Bucks 45%, 26th best. You get the idea. Okay, the efficiency is clearly on Seattle's side. Okay, another point here that I don't think is being priced in, and I'm all about what's actually being priced in, as opposed to just kind of spinning out the same talking points that are probably baked into the line, is that Seattle has improved and Tampa Bay's gotten worse as the season's gone along. I don't think we can just say, like, oh, it's end point. Seattle is a team full of rookies, right? Abraham Lucas and Charles Cross are starting on the offensive line. They're starting Tariq Willen and Kobe Bryant as rookie cornerbacks. They're going to get better. This is what happens. Rookies get better as the season goes along. Conversely, Tampa Bay starting a bunch of older players, right? It shouldn't be shocking that Mike Evans is banged up. It shouldn't be shocking that Chris Godwin, coming off an injury, is getting worse. Julio Jones is the corpse of what he used to be. Of course he's getting hurt. This is an older team, right? Like, it's not surprising to see them slow down as the season goes along. So we already have an overall picture of Seattle being a better team. And even if we just take into account more recent weeks, it only further bolsters the case. Okay. But that all should be priced in. So why are the Bucs still 2.5-point favorites? Is it just because of Brady and Geno Smith? Yeah,
it's 46 seconds, bro. And,
yeah, exactly. But like, the 46 seconds is ignoring the other parts of the game where they couldn't move the ball against a Rams team that is just awful. But really what I think is behind this bet is that they're still pressing in the Bucs as the 2021 team, and there are some real fundamental issues that I don't think are just going to go away. Right, like, everyone's been talking ad nauseum about the Bucs run game, and it's bad, right? It's awful. What's worse is that the team is throwing into perfect coverage 51% of the time. This is a number that would have led the NFL each of the past four seasons since we started tracking this at PFF in 2019. Okay, what's baked into that is receivers who can't get open and a scheme that's not allowing players to get open. That doesn't just go away overnight, right? And, like, the base rates are pretty revealing there. On perfectly covered plays, the EPA is negative 0.3 for most teams. That's a lot worse than the Tampa Bay Bucs run game is right now. All of which is to say,
hard to do.
We have the Bucs with fundamental issues. Okay, they're still being priced in as the team from last year, even though there are clear differences. And conversely, Geno Smith represents, like, the opposite. Like, at what point are we going to say, okay, this is legit? Does he need to continue playing at a top five pace? Like, I just if we're hitting on this angle, right, and, like, Bucks are truly as bad as I think they are, and they're still being priced for a team they're not, this is exactly the kind of odds at plus 400 you're trying to get. This is exactly what really builds the bankroll.
Yeah, I think people are obviously going to be hesitant to see Tom Brady getting run out of the gym by Geno freaking Smith. But you know what wouldn't be surprising is Pete Carroll running Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich in the gym. So, yeah, that's like, true. You know, I like all the points you made were fantastic. You do a great job of breaking it down for us. We talked about the Seattle Seahawks as part of a teaser. And so I have a feeling that may show up potentially as a lock of the week at some point here on this podcast. All right. We have our alt line for the week. We love it. Give us your number one, live betting angle for this week.
I'd say number one, probably the Miami Dolphins. Okay, usually I go with numbers and kind of look at the scripted play stuff, and I have plenty of that for this week. But something I think is something I'm monitoring is basically the way the Dolphins' offense is designed is quick reads off of separation. And if you've watched their games this season, and Tua's done a great job, and, like, Brissett and Skylar Thompson did not have the same anticipation and rhythm that Tua did. And if you watch their games, either they're on or they're like, if you watch the Steelers game where Tua is hesitant, they're off, they're not scoring a lot of points. Okay. But if you watch the Lions or Bears game in recent weeks, you've seen, like, okay, if they're on rhythm, the team is going to score a ton of points and no one can stop them. It's just consistent chunk plays, 15 yards after 15 yards. So I basically want to see, like, do they have their timing? Are they getting separation? I'm inclined to say yes. Against a pretty banked up Brown secondary, but they are coming off the bye. Maybe they're making adjustments. And I basically want to see early, okay, are the Dolphins generating the separation? Are they on rhythm? If they are, they're going to, I think, blow past their team total. And I think they'll probably cover some alt lines here. Conversely, if they're kind of struggling, if Tua feels the pressure of Myles Garrett, which is always in play, I think the Dolphins are a hard sell. Because what's going to be priced in is kind of the offensive efficiency of the last couple of weeks. And if they just don't have it, if they don't have that rhythm that their offense is so reliant upon, I want to fade that.
By the way, you can find all of Judah's great in-game strategy and alt lines, line strategy on the PFF app and PFF.com. You do a ton of incredible work there. Plus, throw the damn ball on Twitter. We have many people that are like undercover superstars on social media, and Judah is certainly one of them. So you should go give him a follow. I can get on board with that. I like that angle. Anything else? We got just a couple minutes left here. Any other thoughts going into this week, or maybe some macro things that you've been noticing now that we're, you know, decent way through the season? So for someone that might be coming in new, who's like, this live betting thing is kind of interesting. Like, How do you think about this from a macro angle?
Yeah. Well, there are a few things. Okay. One is, as you alluded to earlier, there are certain teams which, if there's almost a trigger point, for instance, if the Chiefs or Bills go down early, assuming Josh Allen's healthy, and generally if it's coming off a turnover, like we saw in the Niners-Chiefs game and the Bills-Ravens game, that's just like an auto bet for me, which is what's being like priced in is a bunch of noise that doesn't actually affect the game flow. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it at plus money. Just go bet that. Okay, so there are certain teams where you have kind of those rules. And like Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr always pull leads. They're kind of these long-term trends that I'd be willing to lean into. The other thing is just in general live betting, volatility is your friend. So if you're going to have games with high-scoring offenses, one I'm monitoring this week, Lions-Bears, where if there are constant lead changes, the odds are going to reflect that. And like what happens in the second quarter, because the market has to price in what's going to happen at the end of a game, just go buy that volatility and say, okay, the score might be this way in the second quarter, but I'm planning on selling at the third quarter. And you're manipulating the market who's pricing in what's going to happen at the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And if teams are constantly trading scores and their lead changes, the odds are going to change to reflect that. And I think that's kind of a valuable thing to look for.
And kind of build a big middle.
Exactly. The middles are always available.
But I came prepared this time. I had a couple thoughts for you. So you obviously love your Titans and the live unders.
I didn't want to give that out. No, I did. That was the one I had listed.
Okay, because yeah. I noticed too, literally first and second in EPA per play allowed in the second half of one score games. Broncos the best, Titans the second best. Yep. So I was thinking if somehow they score early on scripted, I would just be hammering the live under in that game. Another one, you mentioned it kind of in the reverse.
Just put this in there. Just find a way to squeeze this in there.
Okay. And another one I was thinking about was, so you mentioned the Bills are, good and you want to bet them live, but with Josh Allen's elbow, I'm concerned. Let's say he does play. I actually don't even think he will, but kind of the same thing. Look at his EPA per play in the second half of one score games. The Bills right now are number one on offense in EPA per play in the second half, but obviously the elbow maybe wears down a little bit. The Vikings, surprising to me, second behind the Broncos in EPA per play allowed in the second half of one score games. So is there maybe, I know it kind of goes against the conventionalism we just talked about, but betting on Allen's elbow wearing out and betting on Minnesota, maybe continuing that trend of making good second half adjustments, playing a lot of that too high, they can give Josh Allen trouble. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I love it. I didn't like think about that game at all, only because like Allen is such a question mark. But I think that's spot on.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Get prepared.
Yeah, I have like a list of six. No. I hope not. Add a list of like six live bets to play and you hit on basically.
Hopefully people will go check them out on PFF.com and the PFF app. Judah, we appreciate you. Thank you for the bonus, Brad. And we'll see everyone next week.